Chapter 5. This is a big case. You don't think I realize that? Someone will die. Another girl, perhaps. Or even you. Look, Mr. Holmes, if you're not going to be helpful, then I will go, and I will help you, of course. However, I expect you to be observant and attentive to what I have to say. Brandon pulled the mask from his face. He removed his black fedora. Yes, I will, because I need you. But I am so tired now. I need rest. My mind is full. He turned and fell back into his chair. His eyes grew heavy and then closed.
Tell me, Mr. Addington, what is the one thought that makes you happy?
Brandon Addington looked around the room. He was now lying on a small couch. He glanced to the bookcase filled with books and then turned his head. Oh, hello, Dr. Freud.
Tell us, what is the one thing that brings you joy?
Brandon looked to the ceiling. Honestly, the one thought I have that makes me feel just a little joyful is, well, he paused a minute, my death.
Is that so? Is that truly how you feel? And if so, what about that thought gives you joy?
Brandon turned his head to face the doctor again. Peace. I will be at peace if I no longer exist. When I was in the war, I saw suffering, the likes of which no human should endure. It was horrible.
Let's talk about that for a moment. What happened to you during the war?
Brandon looked back to the ceiling. I got lost. I couldn't find my way. I had a bullet in my chest. The doctors said later that it was dangerously close to my heart. I was alone for some time. I thought I was going crazy. I could hear shells going off all around me. I heard people screaming. And then I stumbled into a village. I saw children running, crying, looking for their parents. Men were bleeding in the streets. Terror was everywhere. And then I saw the enemy, and they were killing anything that moved. I wasn't thinking about anything. My life, their lives, I just didn't care. I was motivated by pure instinct. So I just attacked, and...
And what? Tell me what happened next.
I killed them all. Everyone that wanted to do those nice people harm. I killed them all. And the worst part was, I wanted to die in the process. I wanted to end it all, but I couldn't. I was left standing, and 50 men were dead. The village was safe, and I just wanted to die. But...
You didn't.
Hardly. I was rescued by the Allies and brought back here.
And now?
And now I want to continue to save these people.
Do you think you can? Save these people, I mean.
I don't know, but I... Then Brandon looked to the corner of the room. A figure stood. Who is that? The doctor turned.
Who? Who do you see?
I do not know. I can't make out his face. Then a soft voice spoke. It's almost time. His eyes opened. He looked around the room. What happened? He looked down. He was sitting in the middle of the floor of his apartment. He looked around at all the charcoal drawings of various women in various poses that lay scattered around the room. You have a gala in 2 weeks. Brandon looked up. Theodore.
What?
How? Terry. He is a fine artist. He went out yesterday and somehow got his work into a gallery and...
What?
That is impossible. I can't even draw a straight line. How can this be...
I drew all of these?
Yes. Or, well, Terry did, using your body. He is quite gifted.
You saw him? Spoke with him?
Yes. Well, briefly.
Again, how is this possible?
Well, I am no psychiatrist. But I think you have created me inside your mind to maybe keep track of your other selves.
And what am I wearing?
Brandon looked down at his bright blue pants and green shirt. Well, he is an artist, added Roosevelt. This is why I try not to sleep. I cannot say I blame you for that, my boy. I have work to do. I need to go and see where the girl was found, Brandon said as he pushed himself to his feet.
Would you like a drink first?
Brandon turned to look at the voice he had not heard in a few days.
Poe, where have you been? he asked as he lifted the bottle of scotch.
Well, I come in whenever the artist in you wants to come out.
I get that, but you're a writer, not a painter.
Art takes many forms. You do realize most men in your condition would not be allowed to roam around so freely.
My condition?
Yes, you know, talking to people that have long died, and some that had never lived. And then there is the dual body experience. I shan't go on at present time.
Well, the detective keeps me in pretty good check. Brandon took a drink. Oh, and Dr. Bird. He set the empty glass down. She helps. Poe walked the small room over, hands together behind his back.
I bet she does.
Poe grinned.
You really believe you are up for this sort of adventure?
Yes, I need to find this woman, this murderer.
Woman?
Yes, I believe the killer is a woman.
You sound like Holmes now.
Thank you, and you are sounding like Freud. Poe turned to face the windows.
Why do you suppose you see us so well?
He turned, adding,
and hear us.
I am not sure. All I do know is, as a child living with a father and a mother who cared nothing about my well-being, forced me to seek comfort elsewhere. They were never encouraging, nurturing, or parental. I was alone most of my time. My brother was their choice of a son. I had no friends or family. At times, my mother's anger would be so great she would beat on me with whatever device she could lay hold of. My father did nothing to stop her. So I escaped into, well, your stories. For years, I learned to live inside my own head. My friends were only those I read about, and I guess in some way I made all of you manifest to me so that I could have a family. Poe turned to face Brandon.
So, you read my stories to escape the true cruel world? And then there was Sherlock Holmes, and Roosevelt, and the others?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have always loved history, and found Roosevelt as someone I could relate to the most. He struggled with his childhood as well. Although he had loving parents, he was very sickly and overcame the odds. Something I am still struggling to do. Poe looked interested now.
Oh? How so?
He grew up sickly and weak, not expected to do much in life, but he forced his body to submit to his will, and he became President of the United States. I know I am not well. I know I should not see or hear you. I also know, one day, I will need to overcome this. But for now, I do not want to, because all of you are all I have.
So, you admire his strength?
His courage. He fought against incredible odds and overcame. Whereas others, and if you don't mind me saying, even you, yielded to yours. Poe chuckled.
Well, times and life were much different for a poor struggling artist. I never made money from my work, not real money anyway. At least Roosevelt had that.
Yes, I guess you are right. Well, I need to head down to see the spot where the girl was found.
Shall I accompany you?
No, Poe. I do not really need anyone seeing me speaking to myself.
Very well. But no, I am always here, Brandon.
I know, my friend. I know. And thank you. Across town at the Capitol building.
Miss Fauci, you are 20 minutes late. Again!
The young blonde woman stood, eyes trembling up at her boss.
I am sorry, Mr. Roundnoggin, but I
do not want any excuses. Clean out your locker. We need to make room for someone who cares about their job.
But sir, please, I...
Her words fell on deaf ears as her former employer walked away. Then she noticed him stop near a young, attractive brunette. He took her hand in his.
Must be my replacement already,
she thought as she turned to make her way to her locker. She could feel an old rage well up in her small 5-foot frame. Her face felt red. Her eyes burned with anger.
She took my job. I know this building inside out, and he brings in some new dame to replace me. I cannot be replaced.
she thought as she began cleaning out her belongings. She turned to see a tall man standing by the door.
"Stay and let me know everything about her. She took this away, and I will take something from her."
"Yes, ma'am," the man muttered. She made her way to her waiting vehicle, a small ragged car, but it was reliable. She sat watching the building. After all, she had nothing more to do today.
"Look, come on. Give me something, Detective Hauser. I mean, I pulled away from your vigilante and was able to keep my cronies from digging in to my leftovers. What have you got on Vito's daughter?"
asked a very enthusiastic-looking man of almost 40. He had dark, intense eyes, hair that had prematurely started turning gray. He stood with a small black notebook and pencil in his hand.
"Tony, I am telling you, there is nothing conclusive yet. But when something breaks, we will." "Are the crimes related?"
"Which crimes?"
"Oh, come on, Hauser, don't play your games. The murders. 3 bodies found, all young women, and..."
Hauser paused for a minute to look at the reporter.
"I cannot give any sort of comment to that at the moment." "All right, then. What can you tell me?"
"They are dead."
"That is it? You know, if I can't find a more interesting story to run, I will have to turn back to the mask. After all, he is the one that kept me on the front page."
"All right. We think the 3 cases might slightly be related. Possibly." Tony looked visibly shocked.
"Oh? And you are working them with that angle?"
"Yes, I am the one handling the case."
"All right. The girls, what sort of connection are we looking at?"
"That is where it gets a little gray. They were all of some influence, but nothing is concrete yet." The reporter put the notebook back into his pocket.
"All right, Hauser. You at least owe me an exclusive for keeping your boy out of the headlines. Because believe me, I know more about him than you think I do."
"All right, Tony. You will get an exclusive once the case breaks. Until then, make yourself useful and tell us if the Washington Senators have a chance of winning this year." Tony smiled as he turned to walk away.
"You know, this friend of yours is stirring stuff up in the underworld."
"What do you mean?"
"Tony, what do you mean?"
Hauser called out.
"So long, Hauser."
Tony waved a hand in the air as he turned the corner. Hauser watched the reporter leave. He reached up to rub his chin.
"Underworld?"
He stands on the bank of the slow-moving water. The chill in the wind blows the corners of his overcoat as he looks over the lake. He watches as people with fishing lines and the dark blue and green liquid walk up and down the banks as if life continues to move forward. Most have no idea. Only hours before, a young woman's mutilated body was found on this very bank. He pushes his red scarf up just over his chin as he looks out into the lake.
"Beautiful, is it not?"
Brandon turned to see a young woman standing near him. "Yes, very. But great beauty can also hold even greater secrets."
"Oh, you are a poet, but I think you mean mysteries."
"Yeah, that too." Brandon smiled.
"Is this the place where the girl was found?"
she asked. Brandon eyed the young blonde woman. "I guess word travels fast around here."
"Yes, it does,"
she said coolly. "But still, this town is getting far too dangerous for a pretty young woman to be going about without an escort." The young woman blushed slightly at the comment. Brandon coughed to clear his throat nervously. "What I mean is..."
"I know what you mean, sir."
She grinned at his discomfort.
"But I am almost 25 and can handle myself fairly well."
"Yes, well, we'll be off then." She grinned as she watched Brandon slip and slide up the steep embankment. He pulled his pocket watch from his right vest pocket. 3:30. I need to get a move on." "What was that all about?" Brandon turned to see Sherlock Holmes walking alongside him. "What do you mean?"
"You know what I mean,"
Holmes quipped as he puffed his pipe.
"The girl making you blush. You making her blush.
We did not even examine the scene well. I could not explore any further as long as she was there, argued Brandon as he opened his car door. Yes, of course. But remember, do not have this girl on your mind, because you know who will show up again, and that never turns out well for any of us. Brandon paused and took a long sigh. I know, and I won't. She is just a bystander. He fell into the seat of his car. I am doomed to live life alone. I have come to accept that. He then turned the ignition and pulled away. Across the road, the young woman watched the scene. She watched the man speaking to himself as if someone were there. She turned and faced the trunk of her car and opened it, revealing the remains of a petite secretary.
Now, let us place you into your new home,
she grinned.